Okay, working. Good evening, everybody. We are now in Parashat Shoftim, and we also Rosh Chodesh Elul.
Yes.
And of course, there is always a connection between the things. And first of all, Shoftim, what is Shoftim v'Shotrim? We have judges and policemen. Why do we need both? Because if there is Shoftim, if you have judges and no policemen to force the result of the decision of the judge,
no good.
So who needs the judge? Mm. And by the way, Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that's the reason it's written Shoftim v'Shotrim, judges and policemen together. In other words, if there are no policemen, you don't need judges. So, in other words, what's the idea behind it? So at least you have a judge. Maybe some people listen, some people don't listen, but at least you have somebody has a problem, at least you can get to a judge. But that's exactly the point. If you have a judge and nothing is being forced, so it's like you're mucking. It's like you're mucking the thing. It's not, it's a laughing stock. It's not even, it's not only it's not serious, it's the opposite of it. It's like, you know, do whatever you want, go to the judge, and nobody cares about what's going to happen later on. So that's the reason if you're in a situation that there are no policemen, nobody to force the law, so you don't want a judge to say, do this or do that, if nobody's going to listen or do it. But there is sometimes a situation, and Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes about it, that the judge is also the policeman. In other words, the judge is powerful. He's so powerful that whatever he says, everybody listens. So it doesn't need the police. In this case, of course, you will have a judge. So if the judge himself has the power to force his decision on those who came to him, so that's the meaning of Shoftim v'Shotrim. It doesn't have to be separate bodies. It can be the same guy doing both things, in other words. For example, today, if you go to if you believe, and you have a great emuna, and you go to a rabbi to ask, and he tells you, you have to do this and that, so are you going to do it?
Yeah.
So he doesn't need a policeman to run after you and force you to do it. So in this case, if you listen to the judge, so the judge is also the policeman. Otherwise, in normal cases, you need both. You need the judge, and you need the police.
This kind of judge that speaks here is from the Beit Din, no? It's not Judge Ragil that you said that is.
You see, people do a mistake. When we're talking about judges, there is only one judge that goes according to the Torah, and there is only Beit Din. For a Jew, there is only a Beit Din. Even if it's a case of arguing about money, or divorce, or marriage, or accident, anything. So if you have a problem with your friend, where do you go? In the Jewish tradition, the Torah tells you, you go to a Beis Din. There are no other things. Today, we're living in a strange world with a separated religion from the state. In this case, they say, whatever has to do with the state, with the laws of the state, you go to the court of the state. Whatever has to do with the laws of religion, you go to a Beis Din. But that's not the way it works. We all know it. The Torah is a Torah to live. It's not only a Torah going to ask, is this chicken kosher or not? That's what people think, but it's wrong. So when we talk here about Shoftim v'Shotrim, we're talking about judges that are going to judge anything. Doesn't matter what it is. You have a problem with somebody, you want to go to a judge, you go to a rabbi, which is a dayan. That's a judge that a Jew should go. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like this today. And by the way, if you want to go according to the Jewish law, you have to ask a Beis Din before you go to the court. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you have a case with somebody and you go to the court, you're not allowed to do it. You have to go to Beis Din. Beis Din is going to try and summon the other guy. And if he doesn't listen, then the court will give you a permission to go to a normal court. Mm-hmm. Or, in other cases, you go and ask, and they tell you right in front, we cannot deal with this, you go to a normal court. But the proper way of doing things is this way. Mm-hmm. But of course, not everybody is doing it. Normally, people will go to a normal court in any case, only if it's something to do with divorce or marriage or other stuff. But if we want to know the truth is, as we said, you should go to the Beis Din first. If somebody summons you, then you have no option. You have to go to the court. But the general idea is that anything we have to do and we want to know what to do about, we go to a Dayan, to a Beis Din. So that's according to what's supposed to be. And by the way, one of the things is, we're talking Shoftim v'Shotrim, Titen lecha bechol she'arecha. You should put judges and policemen in all the places. And then the God calls on and tells you, v'shavtu et ha'am lishvatecha, sorry. Noten lecha lishvatecha. What's lishvatecha? The tribes. In other words, the halacha says, if you have, example for Ra'anana. Let's, in Ra'anana we have all the shvatim, and in Ra'anana we have two tribes living. How many judges do you have to have?
Two.
One for the one Shevet and the other for the other Shevet. And if you have three Shvatim, you will have to have three courts. And if you have four, four courts. Now, if you have the same tribe in three towns, how many courts will you have to have? Again, three. Because in every town, we said, you have to be, you have, there has to be a court. So, why do we need so many courts? It looks like the Jews are like villains, they're like they fight with each other all the time.
But and why for every Shevet?
Yes, I'm saying. Why? Because every Shevet, very simple. It's sometimes we don't realize it. Let's take it to today and understand it. If I have a problem and I am a chosid, and where would I go? Who will understand what I want, what the way I live, what is my problem with my friend? Somebody who is a chosid like me. If I go to, let's say, to a Litvak court, they will behave differently than they will behave in a Hasidic court. I'm just trying to explain. The same way is, let's say, a Yamanite got a problem with an Ashkenazi. The Ashkenazi has a different tradition than the Yamanite. And you want to go extreme, let's put it today. You have the Ethiopians. The Ethiopians come from a different environment. They don't even know what we're talking about. Now, if you want them in between them, who is going to judge them? Somebody who doesn't know anything about their life? So the Torah knows those things. So the Torah tells you, every tribe's got his own qualities and his own behavior and his own tradition. And we know, we see it from the blessing that Yaakov and Moshe Rabbeinu gave them, that every tribe's got special things that he is unique in. And those things, you need special judges that are going to know how to deal with the people. The same thing is, the Torah is also telling our parsha, you should go to the judge that is in your days, in our days. It's also the same story. Imagine to yourself that you are going to stand in, and the judge is going to be Moshe Rabbeinu. How can Moshe Rabbeinu judge you? Spiritual-wise, he is in a much higher level than you. The generation he was living was in a much higher level than us. In other words, he is going to be very hard on us. But if we take a judge from our days, he understands what we're talking about. He will rule differently. Nevertheless, how can Moshe Rabbeinu judge if I'm going to tell him I had a problem with a car? We had an accident. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what a car is, what a phone is. So, in other words, you need a judge that knows what you're talking about. That's what the Torah is telling you. So, it goes both ways. Some people can say, who is this judge? Is he Moshe Rabbeinu? Is he the Rambam? Why should I listen to him? So the Torah tells you, you should listen to the judge that in your day. Yiftach bedoro, Yiftach in his generation, is like Shmuel bedoro, like Shmuel in his generation. And Shmuel in his generation is like Moshe Rabbeinu in his generation. In other words, the judge is suitable for you and you are suitable for the judge. That's the way it goes, and which is beautiful that the Torah tells you. So from the other point of view, you cannot say, I'm not going to this judge, because the Torah tells you. And then the Torah also tells you, Lotasum in adavar asher yagidu lecha yaminu smol. You should not turn from what they tell you right or left. And the Rashi explains, if they tell you on right, left, and then left, right, what are you going to do? What they say, and not what you think. What's the idea? If you know Kish Makabim, when you go from let's say from Petach Tikva, from the Shomron, and you go through Ish Kabim, and you want to go on Kvish Ger. Now, if you want to go north, what do? You go right or left?
Left.
Right.
Why left?
Right.
North is
so
right.
To north.
You're coming from.
Where are you going from?
I'm coming from there. Where did I go?
Again.
So I must tell you, if you go right, you will go left, and when you go left, you go right, because it goes like this. You know, when you come to the road, your logic tells you, if I want to go to Ra'anan, I have to turn right. Okay? But the real truth is, if you turn right, you're going to Be'er Sheva, to Rehovot, to Rishon LeZion, not to Tel Aviv, not to Ra'anana. And if I want to go to Ashdod, Rehovot, Ramle, I have to go left. No, you have to go right, because the right goes like this and then goes left. But when you look at it, what do you see? If there were no signs, you would go right. But the sign tells you, no, you go left. And the same thing is with our rabbis. If your rabbi tells you, go right, but you think it's left, what would you do?
Right.
You do whatever he tells you to. Why? Because he knows better than you what's going to happen. We haven't got the knowledge, and they have the knowledge.
It's like the ways. The ways say, go through this street because... He knows that the other way is a full, a lot of cars and this and that. But I say, why? But this way is so long. It will take me so much.
When they opened this road outside,
yes.
A new road, and I had to collect John from a school at the other side of town, which is near the park. Normally, what would I do? I go from my street right and go there.
Of course.
One morning, one afternoon, I have to take on Friday, I'm going to take John back home. And the way is telling me, go left. What go? Go left is going out to Kvish Ger. I says, you crazy or something? I have to go right, not left. And nevertheless, you have to understand, going this way took me around 20 minutes. Going through left and then right took me 5 minutes.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
I didn't believe in the ways.
So the same thing
as the judge.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because it's like we're talking about, you know, normally in towns, when you have a watch, a clock, it's always up somewhere. In Petah Tikva we have Kikar, it's called Kikar HaMiyuashim, Kikar HaShaon, and there you have this clock. They change the clock in mid, but it's still there, the clock is there. Now, what is the reason it's so high? There are two reasons. No, what do you think? Why do you put the clock high?
Everyone to see.
Everybody to see. But I said there are two reasons. What's the second one?
What is?
Imagine to yourself that the clock is in our height. And I look at my clock, and it doesn't show the same time. What would I do?
Change it.
I change the clock. Then another guy comes. His clock doesn't work properly, and he's chosen a different hour. What is he going to do? Change the clock. So we have to understand. You need one that shows you the way. You cannot change it according to anybody, everybody in or his own opinion. He thinks he's right. So that's why the clock is up there, that everybody to see it, and that nobody can change it. So that's exactly the same idea. When we're talking about our judges, our sages, we're talking about our rabbis, our gedolim, we should listen to them. They're up there, and they see what we don't see. It's like a maze. Somebody goes through the maze, and you know, a maze, you have, let's say, 10 entrants, but only one goes to the right way. Now, somebody did it, and he stands now in the middle on a tower, and he tells you, go left, go right. Now, are you going to listen to him or not? If you're clever, you're going to listen to him. Because yeah. The guy has been there, he knows the way, and he's on top, and he sees where you're going, and he tells you exactly what to do. That's the rabbi. The rabbi is on top. He should be, yes. I'm talking about a real rabbi. Should be on top, and he's in the top. He sees the right way. So you do whatever he tells you to do. Because he knows the way. You, what do you see? You see right, left, wrong. You don't know where to go. That's why we have a rabbi. The idea is very simple. We should listen to those who know, and the shofet and the shoter, they should know. There is a lot of interesting things in our parsha, and we can talk about the first pasuk for 2 hours. For example, another thing, and then I want to approach a different thing in the parsha. One of the interesting things, shoftim shoftim trencha bechol she'aricha. So now we talked about a simple idea that every town, in the gate, you put a judge. Why the gate? Because that's the place where everybody comes in, out. But our sages tell us there is a different explanation. And this explanation is that those gates, the Admor Mislonim says, those gates are the gates of the year. In other words, you have a gate of Sukkot, you have a gate of Pesach, and you have a gate of Rosh Hashanah, which we now in the gate. The Rav Pinkus Zatzal says that the whole Chodesh Elul is really the gate of Rosh Hashanah, of the new year. It's not a different month. It's the beginning of the year, but that's the gate to go into the year. Says the Admor Mislonim, what do you do in a gate? If you go now to a mall, who is waiting you in the entrance? A guard who is going to check if you got something, weapon or whatever, that you cannot go in with. The same way we go into the gate, we need a judge. Who is going to be the judge? We have to put on ourselves a judge and a policeman that is going to say, you're going into the gate of Rosh Hashanah, you're going Chodesh Elul, clean yourself, put everything aside, think with your mind what is right and what is wrong, what is right and what is left, and then go in. After you checked yourself and you're going in the right way. The same way is in life. You have gates. What are those gates? When the neshama comes down to this world, there is a gate to go into this world. And this gate goes through for a male, a brit milah, for a woman, she's born, she comes to this world, and then starts a period of the childhood. The gate is pregnancy, coming out. Then you have a gate when the girl and the boy, bar and bat mitzvah, now they are part of Am Yisrael. They have to do all the laws. So now they become a part of the adult community of Am Yisrael, which is also a gate. And in all those gates, you have to stop and look, where do I go? And what do I do? How do I entrance this new period? And the most important gate of all is when you build your home. When you meet your other part, how are you going to build a home? How are you going to go in the gate of your home? Those are the gates that we're talking about. So, in other words, you just not just go into the gate like it's another step in life. It's an important step. It's a gate. And in a gate, the Torah tells you, what do you do? Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha. You put a judge and a policeman. A judge to think what is right, and a policeman to force yourself to do it. Because, you know, sometimes we know what is right, but we still do the wrong thing. So you need another policeman also. And as we say, sometimes it can be the same guy. So also in our case,
the policeman is to the Yetzer Hara.
Of course. That's the Yetzer Hara. He is the one who is waiting in the gate. And, yes.
Like in Narnia, it happened. Not a lot, but a few times, where the news tells you that there's a strike in the civil service, and there'll be no police or no traffic police watching where you park. You can park anywhere you want. You won't get any tickets because they're not working. There's Bellingham. Everybody brings in their cars, and everybody's up in the path everywhere. There's a complete chaos. That's
on the other side,
red the police.
Here you have cameras that check you if you stand, you know, on the road. I don't know if they if you stand where you're not allowed to stand, mm-hmm. you get a ticket. There is another place there that if you stand more than 15 minutes, the camera takes your picture and you get a fine. Mm-hmm.
Where in Tanana?
Yeah.
That's
where. So be aware. If you see they've got signs there.
Oh, you mean you wait in the car? In the car.
Even if you wait in the car, doesn't care. The camera sees you standing there. For example, there is the bakery there, or what's the Shibole Chua? What's the name of it?
Oh yeah, that big on the corner.
Corner, and everybody stands there and wants and gets things, and sometimes they're not allowed to. They used even to stop the car and go out of the car and leave the car. But now, even if you're in the car and you wait for, let's say your wife went out or the husband went out to buy, the camera takes a picture, and if the car doesn't move, you get a fine.
Denise got three fines. No, the husband went out from the car to get a coffee.
Yeah, but she stops in a...
That I'm saying. So today it's getting... We have Shoftim Veshotrim, electronic Shoftim Veshotrim.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's very... So and it's all for us. It's all for us to understand that we have to do it for ourselves. We don't need others to tell us what to do. We have to tell ourselves what to do.
Yes.
That's the most important thing. And that's, by the way, also we have in our parasha to put a king on ourselves. And the king is, of course, also the king of all kings. You know, the Rebbe Mekos used to say, every day we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, we crown the king on the whole world. He says, before you crown the king on the whole world, crown him on yourself. We forget ourselves. Now, well, you are the king of all kings. Okay, so if God is the king, what do? Do you obey? Do you listen to him? And that's especially now, Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul is a very interesting, very good time, because some people are really frightened from Chodesh Elul. You know, you have to work on yourself and think. And yeah, maybe you should have a certain fright, but the thing is, it's such an unbelievable time. The whole thing, this Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the other Rosh Elul, God tells you, everybody did something wrong through the year. And God says, you know what? Let's open a new page. You can take everything like nothing happened. Open a new page. Who in life can give you a thing like this? Nevertheless, God tells you, HaMelech Basadeh, they say. In this time, Elul, the king is in the field. Ani ledodi vedodi li. The king is here with us. What does it mean? He's always with us. But there is a different closeness. It's like, imagine to yourself that this guy, I don't know if we talked about it, this king used to, let's say, once a year, for a month, go around the kingdom and check the people and ask them how do they feel, what do they think about him, and everybody could approach him and tell him whatever he wants. Imagine to yourself this guy with all his problems. The king comes to him, what do you say? And the guy goes around, nothing, I don't want to talk. To have an appointment with the king, you need to go through hell. And then you have to wait a year, half a year, and here the king is near you. Tells you, tell me, my son, what do you want? Have you any problems? So what should you do? That's the opportunity. Show the king you love. The Rapinko Zatzal says that you have two ways to do tshuva. One is the hard way. Do tshuva, yes. It's the hard way. If you look through the Rambam about Ilchot Tshuva, which is quite a big section, and how you should do tshuva, and you realize how difficult it is to get to the high level of tshuva. The Rapinko said, on Chodesh Elul, you don't have to go through this whole procedure. Of course you have to do tshuva the best you can, but the thing is, the first thing if you do when you're already on the good side, God wants you now to show him your love. It's like, we said it 100 times, it's like a father didn't see his son for a whole year. And now he sees his son and he opens his arms. What should the son do?
Run.
Obviously run to his arms. Mm-hmm. But imagine to yourself that this son is turning and going away. Like God is opening his arms now, Chodesh Elul, and what do we do? Going on with life like nothing happened. People ask me an interesting question. It's being asked all the time. What's this whole idea of Batshuva? If 2 minutes later I do the same thing I did the whole year. What's the idea? The idea is very simple. Imagine to yourself, you are parents, and you have children. And the children did some wrong, some naughty things. And then they come to you when you are in a very good mood and they ask you forgiveness. would you forgive them or not? You know deep inside that when you go out, it will not take long and they will do the same thing again. Are you going to forgive or not? Now, you see, they are serious, they are sincere. They are very sincere because they really want to fix things. Every parent will accept it. But deep inside he knows, okay, but now it's my son. He wants my love. And he's asking real forgiveness. You see, the idea is not, it's not talking from outside. It has to come from inside. It's not a game. God knows exactly who we are. So if you're playing a game from the outside, okay, slicha, 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 slicha. But inside you've got no meaning. That's not a slicha. But if you really mean it, it says, our sage says, "Ptach li petach yichudo shel machat, v'ptach lach petach kipitcho shel olam." You open me a needle hole, and I will open you the whole thing. What's the idea? Rav Pinkus says, imagine to yourself a hole, and you have to go into the hole. But in order to get into the hole, you have gates, and they are closed. And every gate, imagine that it's like a different mitzvah. This is like this mitzvah, this is the other mitzvah. You have tahiyat mitzvot. Is it possible that you're going now to fix everything you did wrong? He says, you just happen to open one door. One door, open one door. Are you in or not? You in. That's what you have to do. Open one door. What is opening one door? Chudo shel machat. Decide, one mitzvah, I'm going to do properly. Because it has to be duch and duch, we have to say. It's not a hole. The hole has to go through. You have to open the door. You have to go in. But then you're in. And if you're in, they also say mitzvah, goreret mitzvah. Normally, if you start changing your way of life and you're doing a mitzvah, you will find out that very quickly you're doing another mitzvah.
Listen, but if you live in a society and you go to this society, the society doesn't do like you think that you should do.
Yes.
Okay. So what you do by yourself?
Yes.
But sometimes it's impossible. Example. Now we are in Elo.
Yes.
So you go to the shul to talk with Hashem.
Yes.
And then you see that there is the same thing. All the year the same thing that now.
You have always the same problem.
No, but this, I feel a special.
It's not
feeling.
The same. We have the shofar. And we have David Hashem Mori Vishi in there.
Yeah, but you understand me.
So you have 1 minute more.
You see, have to finish at home.
Yeah. See, we cannot fix the whole world. But believe me, if we do our small thing, it's going to have an influence. Like today, every few days I've got somebody coming to me so quickly. It's all there. Why don't you do anything? Like today, I had a few people. People think I'm not the rabbi of the shul. I'm not a gabbai. I'm not the one who makes the decision. I'm just giving a dvar Torah in the morning. That's all. Baruch Hashem. So I had my fights, you know. I had a lot of fights about the way we should daven. But, you know, unfortunately, that's the way we is. From the other side, look how many people come to us every day in daven. So there is also a bright side of this. Okay, it's not being done the best way. So what? At least it's being done. So what do we do? How do we change? Small things. That's what I'm saying, small things. Like our sages tell to us, you have to shmonesa, you have to have a kavona the whole shmonesa. We're talking to God. Can we have kavona the whole shmonesa?
It's difficult.
So the halacha says, at least the first blessing. And then the halacha says, even if I cannot, I couldn't do it. What do you do? Do you do again the tefillah? No. Why not? Because if you couldn't do the first you do the same on the second one. So what's the idea? You will stand there and for 4 hours you will try to have a kavana. Our Rabbonim know exactly who we are and what we are. So, what should you do? You should try. You should try. And do. Sometimes you stand and, you know, everything is up. You don't know where you are and what they're doing. Like, let's say, for example, on Shivasa Betamuz, there was a chazan in our minyan. Like, you couldn't say anything. Like, it was starting, finishing, starting, couldn't say anything. So, what can you do? You can raise your hand and say, okay, that's it, I'm giving up. Or you do what you can do. So what I'm saying always, we try and do the